From Heaven with Love. Chapter 9. Christ's Problems as a Child. Under synagogue teachers, Jewish youth were instructed in the countless regulations which as Orthodox Israelites they were expected to observe. But Jesus did not interest himself in these. From childhood he acted independently of rabbinical laws. The scriptures were his constant study, and the words, "Thus saith the Lord," were ever on his lips. He saw that men were departing from the word of God, and exacting rites that possessed no virtue. In their faithless services they found no peace. They did not know the freedom of spirit that comes by serving God in truth. Though Jesus could not sanction the mingling of human requirements with divine precepts, he did not attack the precepts or practices of the learned teachers. When reproved for his own simple habits, he presented the word of God in justification of his conduct. Jesus tried to please those with whom he came in contact. Because he was so gentle and unobtrusive, the scribes and elders supposed he would be easily influenced by their teaching. But he asked for their authority in Holy Writ. He would hear every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, but could not obey the inventions of men. Jesus seemed to know the scriptures from beginning to end, and he presented them in their true import. The rabbis claimed it was their office to explain them and his place to accept their interpretation. They knew that no authority could be found in scripture for their traditions. Yet they were angry because Jesus did not obey their dictates. Failing to convince him, they sought Joseph and Mary and set before them his non-compliance. Thus he suffered rebuke and censure. At a very early age, Jesus began to act for himself in the formation of character. Not even love for his parents could turn him from obedience to God's word. But the influence of the rabbis made his life bitter. He had to learn the hard lesson of silence and patient endurance. His brothers, as the sons of Joseph were called, sided with the rabbis. They regarded the precepts of men more highly than the word of God, and condemned Jesus' strict obedience to the law of God as stubbornness. Surprised at the knowledge he showed in answering the rabbis, they could not but see that he was an instructor to them. They recognized that his education was of a higher type than their own, but they did not discern that he had access to a source of knowledge of which they were ignorant. How Jesus respected all people alike. Christ found religion fenced in by high walls of seclusion, as too sacred a matter for everyday life. These walls he overthrew. Instead of secluding himself in a hermit cell, in order to show his heavenly character, he labored earnestly for humanity. He taught that religion is not meant only for set times and places. This was a rebuke to the Pharisees. It showed that their morbid devotion to personal interests was far from true godliness. This roused their enmity, so they tried to enforce conformity to their regulations. Jesus had little money to give, but he often denied himself food in order to relieve those more needy than he. When his brothers spoke harshly to poor, degraded beings, Jesus spoke to them words of encouragement. To those in need he would give a cup of cold water and quietly place his own meal in their hands. All this displeased his brothers. Being older, they felt he should be under their dictation. They charged him with thinking himself superior to them and setting himself above the teachers, priests, and rulers. Often they tried to intimidate him, but he passed on, making the scriptures his guide. Jesus' problems with his family. Jesus' brothers were jealous of him and manifested decided unbelief and contempt. They could not understand his conduct. Great contradictions presented themselves in Jesus. He was the divine Son of God, and yet a helpless child. As Creator, the earth was his possession, yet poverty marked his life experience. He did not strive for worldly greatness, and in even the lowliest position he was content. This angered his brothers. They could not account for his constant serenity under trial and deprivation. Jesus was misunderstood by his brothers because he was not like them. In looking to men they had turned away from God, and they had not his power in their lives. The forms of religion they observed could not transform the character. The example of Jesus was to them a continual irritation. He hated sin and could not witness a wrong act without pain impossible to disguise. Because the life of Jesus condemned evil, he was opposed. His unselfishness and integrity were commented on with a sneer. His forbearance and kindness were termed cowardice. Of the bitterness that falls to the lot of humanity, there was no part Christ did not taste. Some cast contempt on him because of his birth. Even in childhood he had to meet scornful looks and evil whisperings. If he had responded by an impatient word or look or even one wrong act, he would have failed of being a perfect example. Thus he would have failed of carrying out the plan for our redemption. Had he even admitted that there could be an excuse for sin, Satan would have triumphed, and the world would have been lost. Often he was accused of cowardice for refusing to unite with his brothers in some forbidden act, but his answer was, "It is written, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Some felt at peace in his presence. But many avoided him, rebuked by his stainless life. Young companions enjoyed his presence, but they were impatient at his scruples and pronounced him narrow and straight-laced. Jesus answered, "It is written, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word. I have laid up thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Often he was asked, "Why are you bent on being so different from us all?" "It is written," he said, "blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who do no wrong, but walk in his ways." When questioned why he did not join in the frolics of the youth of Nazareth, he said, "It is written, I will delight myself in thy statutes, I will not forget thy word." Jesus did not contend for his rights. He did not retaliate when roughly used, but bore insult patiently. Again and again he was asked, "Why do you submit to such despiteful usage, even from your brothers?" "It is written," he said, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Let not loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them about your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." Why he had to be different Jesus' course of action was a mystery to his parents. He seemed as one set apart. His hours of happiness were found when alone with nature and with God. Early morning often found him in some secluded place, meditating, searching the scriptures, or in prayer. From these quiet hours he would return home to take up his duties again. Mary believed that the Holy Child born of her was the Messiah, yet she dared not express her faith. Throughout his life she was a partaker in his sufferings. She witnessed with sorrow the trials brought upon him in his childhood and youth. By her vindication of what she knew to be right in his conduct, she herself was brought into trying positions. She looked upon the associations of the home and the mother's watch care over her children as vital in the formation of character. The sons and daughters of Joseph knew this, and by appealing to her anxiety tried to correct the practices of Jesus according to their standard. Mary often remonstrated with Jesus and urged him to conform to the usages of the rabbis. But he could not be persuaded to change his habits of contemplating the works of God and alleviating suffering. When the priests and teachers required her aid in controlling Jesus, she was greatly troubled. But peace came to her heart as he presented scripture upholding his practices. At times she wavered between Jesus and his brothers, who did not believe he was the sent of God. But evidence was abundant that his was a divine character. His life was as leaven working amid the elements of society. Undefiled, he walked among the thoughtless, the rude, the incourteous, amid unjust publicans, reckless prodigals, unrighteous Samaritans, heathen soldiers, rough peasants, and the mixed multitude. He spoke a word of sympathy as he saw men weary yet compelled to bear heavy burdens. He repeated to them lessons he had learned from nature of the love and goodness of God. He taught all to look on themselves as endowed with precious talents. By his own example he taught that every moment of time is to be cherished as a treasure and employed for holy purposes. He passed by no human being as worthless, but sought to inspire with hope the most rough and unpromising, assuring them that they might attain such a character as would make them manifest as the children of God. Often he met those who had no power to break from Satan's snare. To such, discouraged, sick, tempted, and fallen, Jesus would speak words of tenderest pity. Others he met were fighting a hand-to-hand battle with the adversary of souls. These he encouraged to persevere, for angels of God were on their side and would give them victory. Those whom he helped were convinced that here was one in whom they could trust with perfect confidence. Jesus was interested in every phase of suffering, and to every sufferer he brought relief, his kind words having a soothing balm. None could say he had worked a miracle, but virtue, the healing power of love, went out from him. Thus in an unobtrusive way he worked for people from his very childhood. Yet through childhood, youth, and manhood, Jesus walked alone. In purity and faithfulness, there was none with him. He knew that unless there was a decided change in the principles and purposes of the human race, all would be lost. Filled with intense purpose, he carried out the design of his life that he himself should be the light of men.